Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You can bring up absolutely anything you want. Tonight, it's Ian.
Bigel's Mountaineer. And the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass.
All right, so we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up anything you want. Coming up here, apparently some senators are taking aim. I don't know what that means. We're going to find out. At El Salvador over their adoption of Bitcoin.
Got you in their sights.
This, by the way, as the Bitcoiners are down in Miami, apparently, this weekend.
It's that weekend, isn't it?
Yep. Mark Warden, I spotted pictures of him. He went down there from Porcupine Real Estate.
Yeah,
hanging out down there in Miami. So if you want to weigh in on whatever you want to talk about, you can here. And then, of course, later on tonight at 10:30 Eastern Time, there will be Beard Talk Live online only over at our video streaming platforms like Odyssey at watch.freetalklive.com. But, Captain, you and I had the same story here tonight. We always do our own show prep independently. And then,
Oregon-a-ho?
And then,
or Idaho-oregon.
Well, they haven't decided yet, but I think they're just going to stick with Idaho if they can make pull this off, and that is the Greater Idaho Movement, as it has been called, which we've covered here.
I've had one of those after eating too many potatoes,
which we've covered here some number of times. Seems like it's relatively recent, but it's gotten a lot of headway, and this is the concept.
Also, wait a minute. Greater Idaho Movement?
Yeah, as in, like, they're making Idaho bigger.
Or are they making it greater? Like, as in,
maybe
more great than Great Britain, for example?
I guess it could be interpreted that way.
You know, we're not just Idaho. We're the Greater Idaho.
Yeah, it's essentially not entirely secession movement, but kind of.
It's like a merger movement.
It's a redraw, essentially.
Yeah.
They want to change the boundaries from where Idaho currently is and move the line west, essentially, and shrink Oregon down.
Take over a bunch of eastern Oregon, which more resembles, when I was on the west coast, like the coast itself, where the mountains start and then all the way to the ocean, is like one area, like culturally, meteorologically, right, weather-wise, that kind of thing. And then once you get east of the mountains, it's basically the Midwest until you get to, I don't know, like Pennsylvania or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole stretch has like four seasons and all that stuff, whereas everything in the mountains, the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Seattle, Washington area, Tacoma, that kind of stuff, and then Western Oregon as well. I think they should just, like, Western Oregon and Eastern Washington should become one state, and then as this particular...
Western and Western Washington?
Western Washington, Western Oregon.
Okay, you said
should,
Eastern Washington.
Should merge and become one state, and then Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon should probably join Idaho. Like Greater Idaho.
I wouldn't
whatever.
Be surprised if there was a movement to secede Eastern Washington as well. I just haven't heard about it.
Like, even politically, those areas are divided like you wouldn't believe. You get on the east side of the mountains in either Washington or Oregon, and everybody's a little more righty right, than they are on, you know, the western side of the mountains. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've heard of a movement to secede from the rest of Washington from the ones on the flat side of the mountains, because they're like, oh, no, they're California over there. We are not California over here.
Yeah, and if that is a movement, I would love to hear what that one's called. But for now, we do know about the Greater Oregon Movement, which, again, proposes to...
Greater Idaho Movement?
Greater Idaho, which proposes to move the border of Idaho to encompass roughly a dozen or so counties, and apparently they've now hit their 12th county, and that's the news of the day. These counties have been voting. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
This isn't just like, you know, some radical guys talking about.
It's not just a proposal. Yeah. It's not a bunch of politicians getting together, or even one
not
trying
just holding
to,
meetings.
Right, yeah.
So do you want to share your story, Captain? You have it from the Statesman.
Yeah, this is from IdahoStatesman.com. Greater Idaho Movement claims 12th Oregon County to vote in favor of moving the state line. After Tuesday night's special election in Oregon, the long-shot Greater Idaho Movement has claimed victory in 12 eastern Oregon counties, despite results not being finalized as of Wednesday morning. The movement's proposal calls for 14 full counties in eastern Oregon to move to Idaho, as well as the eastern side of a number of other counties in central Oregon. Wallowa County, located in the northeast corner of the state and bordering both Idaho and Washington State, voted on the ballot question requiring county commissioners to discuss the possibility of moving the Idaho-Oregon state line westward.
Hmm.
As of 1 p.m. Boise time, May 17th, 3,421 people had voted on the measure, with 50.3% voting in favor.
It's a close one.
Of requiring discussions on moving the state border. The county has a population of 7,659, which is about 2% of the people of eastern Oregon, according to the Greater Idaho Movement. Although ballots still need to be counted, due to Oregon law allowing mail-in ballots to be received after Election Day if they were mailed on or before the Election Day, the Greater Idaho Movement believes that the vote will swing in its favor. The final election results in favor of Greater Idaho ballot measures have always been 1 to 4 percentage points higher than the election night result, the movement stated in a news release.
That's after they do the mail-ins. Okay.
Yeah. So the Greater Idaho Movement feels confident that the measure has won the Wallowa County election. And they have a little picture here of, you know, how it's going to go down. And it looks like most of, I'll call it, eastern Oregon is included.
Yeah, they've got a map over at greateridaho.org, which is the official site of this particular movement, that shows all of the counties that have already voted, this being the 12th county to vote. So there's another one coming up. Crook County is going to vote on this. And so far, it says here the average is 62% in favor. So this county you're talking about, Wallowa, is a little closer than most of the votes have been. And according to the updates that were posted to this article, as of May 18th, according to the clerk, the ballot measure was only ahead by 7 votes. So it is literally,
wow,
you know, neck and neck as far as this thing. Now, just to be clear, they are only voting that the county commissioners or whatever they were called there, the selectmen or whatever their term is, that they talk about it.
Yeah, they have a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's by no means any sort of binding, this is going to happen, but it is at least a vote, and that's a lot more than most secession
and
movements can say.
50%, you know, people are thinking about it.
For sure.
Right? If you get 50% of, even like, I realize not everybody votes, right, as a non-voter, right?
Sure.
But like, in this type of a thing where you're just wanting to have the discussion, it must be on their minds, right? They must have some, you know, benefit in their mind about what this is going to do for them.
And that's always the first part of these things, is just to get people thinking about the idea. Because even if you are someone who would absolutely love the idea, but if you've never thought of it, if it's never been brought up, then it's never going to happen.
Yep.
Right. You have to believe that it's possible, number one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't believe that independence is possible. And so, and part of the reason is because there's been a lot of propaganda over the years about how this is impossible, it can't happen, we decided that in the Civil War,
right,
we're going to get murdered if we try this again. And that is what a lot of people are having to deal with. There's also the fear about, well, what about Social Security, and what about the military? And there's a lot of, you know, legitimate questions.
Whataboutism?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, objections that people have. And anytime you're doing a sales job, right, you have to know how to overcome objections.
Yep.
You know, when you present the product or the idea, in this case, to potential buyers, there's going to be people who have objections, and you got to have the answers to those objections.
Yep.
So this is all a process. You know, if you can persuade people that your answers are valid, then they're going to think about it. They may not convert on the spot.
Yep.
They may have to take the information home with them, ruminate on it. It may take months. It may take years. They may have to talk to more than one person. You may be just the first individual that has a conversation with them about independence.
Well, and I think that's what makes libertarian philosophy or anarchist philosophy easy, for me anyway, is because I didn't really have to learn anything, right? I just had to go, oh, there's some logic to this. Okay, well, let me apply it. Oh, look, and there's the answer. Huh, weird. So, like, I mean, seriously, you don't, like, if you just look into libertarianism philosophy or anarchist philosophy, you know, why the state is evil, right, why it's a horrible idea to organize people using violence and coercion and force, you know, the answers are forthcoming.
Yeah.
You don't have to remember anything. You don't have to become learned in a certain way. Or it's just like, oh, it makes sense. It's logical. Now we just apply it, and now you have all your answers.
Yeah, it's not something like Marxist philosophy where you have to learn, oh, well, this is the definition of the bourgeoisie versus the proletariat. No, no, no. The thing about liberty philosophy, it is always categorized by a loss of other ideas. Like, you have these other ideas getting in the way of simple logic.
Yeah.
Like, when you are a child, you will automatically think in relatively logical ways about physical reality. And then all of these ideas can get in and change that and keep you from thinking in logical ways and indoctrinate you.
Yep.
Now, when you lose that indoctrination, if, for example, you are fed this idea of the world is this way, and that relies on this verifiable fact, and you try to verify that fact, and it just ain't so, so now you have to sort of remake your world, which is, you know, it's a very time and energy intensive process, and it's very risky, but if you have to, then you have to. Now, once you have to, your default setting, your childlike knowledge setting of physical reality and logic will start to kick in. And if you go from there, it always leads to liberty.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, sometimes one of the knocks I hear about, you know, libertarians as a group is that, you know, they're totally nerdy and they come off as know-it-alls. And, like, well, that's not true, right? Like, people might take it that way, but what libertarians are mostly is correct, right? Factually correct. Like, I'm not even kidding.
I'm
like,
not a know-it-all. I'm correct.
Well, they're technically correct, which is the best kind of correct, right? To be technically correct.
I don't know, man. Libertarians are wrong about a lot of stuff.
I'm absolutely.
Right now. There's a bunch of libertarians who should know better who are completely falling for a bunch of politicians.
But compared to Republicans and Democrats, right? If you look at, you know, what libertarians are saying, hey, like, in general, now, there are issues, of course, where everybody has their differences and stuff. But
when they stick to principles,
like the non-aggression principle, they come out technically correct. And so, and that's what sort of annoys the rest of the world about libertarians, is that, okay, here's a bunch of high IQ people who might not be the most socially functioning human beings on planet Earth, but they've done the thinking.
I want to go to the phones here. We'll come back to the story. In fact, I'm curious if your story from the Statesman actually interviews anybody from the Greater Idaho movement, and if they have anything to say about this, because the, you know, numbers are interesting, but what are the reasons for this? I've got some here as well. But let's go to somebody that is a big fan of independence. He's Dave Ridley on the line here tonight. Now, Dave, you were on hold at the beginning of the show, so you didn't know we were going to talk about this topic. I don't know why you were calling in, but what's on your mind tonight?
Well, that's great about Idaho, but I wasn't going to talk about that, but, you know, it's interesting. We actually sort of have a Greater New Hampshire movement also. If you remember in 2003, town in Vermont tried to secede to New Hampshire.
Yeah, Killington, Vermont. I don't know if I would call that a movement in that I haven't heard anything about it since 2003. So if you've gone 20 years without making any headlines, I don't know if you can really call that a movement. But it was an interesting story because, if I recall correctly, Killington is landlocked. It is not a border town with New Hampshire. So the idea that it's a ski town, and they're sick and tired of all the Vermont taxes or regulations or whatever, and the ski town said, you know what, we'd like to vote to move to, you know, become New Hampshire, like this little island of New Hampshire in the middle of Vermont, which would have been amazing if it happened. And I don't think it ever went to a vote. I think it was just, you know, something people talked about. It did make headlines, though.
Yeah, it went pretty far in their governmental system. I don't remember The New Hampshire government got involved. I think the governor of New Hampshire supported it in some form or fashion. But anyway,
yeah, I suspect the government of Vermont did not support it. That was the end of it.
That's right. But guess what? No one shot anybody. Mm-hmm. There were not 750,000 people killed or anything. Like, you can have an independence drive, and everybody
right.
still gets along afterwards. But I was talking about something. Going to talk about something else.
Go ahead.
Over the years, I've had this, you know, this kind of passion for, and I haven't really done enough with it, but I have this passion for, you know, we need to have somebody speak at ForkFest or at Liberty Forum who really, like, everybody does a double take, you know, all the eyebrows go up and the government can't stand it and the authoritarians are freaking out that we're having this person speaking. We need a president of Estonia, like a country that has seceded or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're getting closer. They have achieved for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Apparently, a key member of the Kennedy clan is now on board with the Free State Project to some extent.
Well, I mean, this is the thing I was referring to earlier. There's a bunch of libertarians out there that are getting all excited about these politicians.
You mean Republicans?
No, not even Republicans. This guy's a Democrat in this particular case, but there are some that are getting excited about
saying
Republicans.
These libertarians are acting like Republicans and getting excited about this candidate.
Now, how are they acting like Republicans if they're excited about a Democrat?
Republicans
candidate?
Probably wouldn't be excited about RFK. He's a Democrat.
But because he supports the small, limited government.
No, he doesn't. No? That's the thing. That's what's going on here is these libertarians who should know better than to be, under the spell of a politician who, shouldn't libertarians know better than the average person that politicians are lying scum and you cannot believe a word that they say?
One would hope so.
Right. No, but apparently not.
Yeah,
all they
how
have
dare
to do
these libertarians sacrifice their principles in order to not get blown up by a nuclear weapon. How dare they?
All they have to do is these politicians just sing a little song that sounds a little bit libertarian on one issue, and these libertarians just start getting all hot and bothered. Oh, my God.
If that issue is avoiding nuclear war with Russia, then maybe it's worth it, Ian.
Oh, is that what his issue is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, because he's disarming people at Porkfest who want to come see him speak.
Okay.
So stop telling me that the guy is
he's
a libertarian.
Not, okay, that's not what he's doing. He's not allowing them to be armed at his event.
Okay.
At Porkfest.
He's disarming
he's not,
anyone
he's not
that
saying
wants to
you
come
can't
here and
be
speak.
Armed at Porkfest, which
right.
is what
I didn't
you're
say he said that.
You
I said
he's disarming
anyone at Porkfest who wants to hear him speak. That is what I said.
While they're at his event.
Who wants to hear him speak, right? If you want to hear him speak, you got to go to his event, right? So, yeah, if you want to go in there,
it's not like he's going to be camping next to me.
Security agents are going to disarm you in order to do that. But yet there's somebody online within the last 24 hours who was saying, oh, my God, he said that, wow, he said he'd consider a pardon for Ross Ulbricht. Oh, wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah, people get these political boners for these guys every now and again.
I just don't understand it.
It's horrible.
I mean, Donald Trump's against the war, too. I mean, am I supposed to get all hot and bothered about him running for president, too? I mean, these people aren't libertarians. Oh, RFK, he posted a link to a Lou Rockwell article. He must be a libertarian.
He has three letters in his name.
He's a guy who is pandering to you.
Of course.
Okay, but he's pandering to us about not having a nuclear war with Russia. And literally no one on the Democratic side of things is even talking about that as a possibility.
Yeah. What about it, Ridley?
Yeah, having people pander to you is not a war crime. I don't think we need to be particularly upset with the fact that we should be rejoicing over the fact that these politicians who are not that libertarian are trying to woo us. And the more that goes on, the more it indicates that we're successful.
I get what you're saying about that, but I wouldn't rejoice over it. These people are not of value in any way, shape, or form. They are dishonest by trade. You cannot believe a word that they say. Just because he says he's against this war doesn't mean he's against all wars.
I don't care, Ian.
And is this
he is introducing this into the conversation nationally, which is something that we cannot do in any other way.
Is he?
You know, and that makes him. That's his second big base hit. You know, in the sense that, like, I was I was listening to a podcast about two years ago that he was debating Alan Dershowitz, the lawyer, the authoritarian lawyer, about vaccine rights and stuff like that. And Kennedy took the libertarian position. He said he was a libertarian, and he wiped the floor with that authoritarian lawyer.
Obama was also very good at debate and winning people over and speaking in terms that may or may not have resonated with certain people. My question is this RFK presentation going to be a unidirectional thing where he gets up and gives a speech using things like teleprompters, or is he going to engage in debate with, say, a libertarian, for example? Is he going to engage the crowd? Is he going to answer libertarian questions? Is he going to respect everybody's rights to bear arms while listening to him and engaging in this?
Well, that's going to create an interesting situation. You know, there's going to be people protesting against him. There's probably going to be people who try to violate the rule, or people who try to, you know, they all walk in with their guns and make the security disarm them. There's all kinds of interesting things that are going to happen. There's nothing wrong with the free state movement being interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, if that's what people want to do, then that's fine. Just stop telling me he's a libertarian. I mean, I'm glad that he's anti-war, apparently,
That I think is absolutely fair. I'm not trying to tell you that he's libertarian.
No, you haven't said that.
I am trying to tell you that it is a good thing that we have this person who is going to at least introduce to the democratic side of the nation the possibility of not going to war with Russia.
I mean, Democrats have been anti-war whenever they're not in power. So
baby steps. Let's keep reeling them in, just like with Tulsi Gabbard. You know, she's baby steps, getting closer to the libertarian position and stuff like that.
No, she's not. Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, yeah, she changed her position on firearms.
She could pander to the right wingers who she wants to give her money so she can run under their banner.
Tulsi Gabbard is absolutely useless. Like, her only useful feature was that she was on the left and therefore listened to by people who care about Democrats. Now she's not even there, and as a Republican, she's terrible.
Well, it could be a lot worse. And again, it's like you said, baby steps.
Well, there's never going to be any baby steps that do anything at the federal government level. I mean, we all understand that people like this, RFK, have no chance of winning an election. I'm not saying don't
vote
for him.
That's not true, actually.
I'm not saying don't vote for him, okay? If you are a registered Democrat or you're in a place where you can pull a Democrat ballot and you get the chance to vote for him instead of Joe Biden, go ahead, pull the ballot. I don't think there's any harm in doing that, but the odds that he's going to defeat Biden when Biden literally has the entirety of the Democratic National Committee backing him,
works for Trump. The entire Republican National Convention was backing Jeb Bush. Look how that worked out.
Thank you, Dave, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160.
Yeah,
but the fact is, it doesn't matter who you put into Washington, D.C. You're not going to ever baby step that towards more freedom. It just has to crash and burn. More coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is cutting short his trip to the G7 summit to return to the White House for negotiations on raising the debt ceiling. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who accompanied Biden to Japan, says the president is going home early to, quote, bring the deal home. Before leaving Japan, Biden is expected to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky. It follows the decision to let Ukrainian forces use American-made F-16 fighter jets. SpaceX is lifting off again, sending a rocket today into orbit with satellites for the Iridium and OneWeb companies. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the migrant crisis is desperate in her state. Hochul said the state has over 71,000 asylum seekers and more are arriving. FastX is speeding to the finish line at the box office domestically with a projected $67 million in its opening weekend. Jerry Varmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show. You can bring up anything you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight is Ian,
Boogles Mountaineer,
and the Captain.
If you've been thinking about, if you're a liberty-minded person, that is, making the migration here to New Hampshire, as have done thousands of like-minded folks in the last couple decades, it's been starting to really pick up in the last couple of years. More people moving than ever before. If you're thinking about making that move, then you got to know where to land and what to do when you get here. And the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate, they've been putting together a series of webinars on these very topics, reasons to make the move to New Hampshire, what it's like when you're here, finding some of the housing, best practices for moving to the Free State. The topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories, some of the amazing success stories that maybe you haven't heard about. I mean, we talk about some things that happen here on Free Talk Live, but by no means can we cover it all, and they can't either, even in one webinar. So go and sign up for these. They're over at move.freetalklive.com. They'll take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website. The sign-up page is there. It's free to sign up, free to attend these webinars, and you'll get the info, the inside scoop from the people that are on the ground here in New Hampshire. Most of the people at Porcupine Real Estate are Free Staters themselves.
Yeah.
They're people who have moved here. They know the lay of the land. They know the community. and they'll take your questions. You go to move.freetalklive.com and get signed up there. Also, if you want to see what they've already done, just visit their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. You can see past presentations there. But more importantly, sign up for the ones that are coming up at move.freetalklive.com and start planning your move to New Hampshire. You wanted to talk about something about the left and anti-war.
Yeah, so Captain had brought up, like, oh, well, the Democrats become anti-war when they're not in power. And it's like, well, wait a second. When Trump was in power, they didn't start becoming anti-war. They
That's
were
true.
Super anti-Trump, but they were nowhere near anti-war. I miss
no, they,
the anti-war
they were,
line.
They were proposed, or they
the
were...
The ones that I knew were all like, you know, well, that's fine.
What was fine?
Like war.
Yeah.
During Trump, your point is during Trump, when Trump was actually doing things like withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, the left was mad about it. Mm-hmm. They wanted to stay in Afghanistan.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And frankly, the
whereas I don't mean to interrupt. I just want the listeners to have like the full scope of my thought here. It's that I lived amongst the lefts out there on the left coast,
right.
And so what I saw was like. I always sort of had this low-level respect for, like, the hippie types and folks who come, you know, from that sort of a culture where it's, you know, it's a little more free, right? Hippies tend to be freedom-oriented.
Right.
And they were always anti-war. And then, like, as they grew up and, like, got jobs and, you know, went out into the world and made something out of themselves or whatever, like, somehow it got all demented and warped, and they were no longer fundamentally against war, so it seemed. And it seems to change, at least according to my experience, of whenever they're not in power. And that's to say that if a Republican holds the presidency, then the Democrats suddenly aren't as anti-war as they were before.
Well, that has been the case a lot of the time, but I think that what happened was Obama did the most drone striking of any president. Was I mean, as much of
a
war hawk as
joke.
W. Bush by any measure.
He made a freaking joke at his fundraiser about his daughter dating, and said, I sat down with a young man, I had two words for him. I said, predator drone. So he threatened, like, a 13-year-old kid with a Predator drone. Now, he says, oh, it was a joke. And, like, okay, maybe it was. But still, you're the president of the largest empire planet Earth has ever seen, and you think it's okay to make a joke about drone striking your daughter's first boyfriend?
Wow. And the fact that this is the first black president means that he can do no wrong. And since one of the big feathers in his cap is getting bin Laden, so, okay, well, that is our guy. That is who we define our tribe by. So, okay, I guess we're war tribe now.
Yeah.
And since the left has become such a warlike tribe, that can no longer be a way of identifying yourself on the right.
Yeah.
So the Republicans have, like, pulled back from being so war-oriented and such war hawks.
For the moment.
For the moment.
Well, and 10-ish years ago, maybe more, when I started sort of looking at, you know, investigating where I am politically in relation to everybody else and discovering, well, I'm nowhere. That's why I'm an anarchist. But, like, I discovered that the Republicans and the Democrats used to have opposite stances than they do today. So over the course of time, you know, if you had a set of principles or a set of beliefs and you lived through this time, you would have, you know, gone through this sort of flippening of political alignments. That doesn't happen with libertarianism, because libertarianism is logic based. It's it's philosophy is principle based. And when you have principles, you don't have this flip flopping of ideals and stuff like that. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, the only thing that changes with libertarianism is which part of liberty we focus on.
Right.
So, like, I'm very much of the opinion that the open borders, in the sense of, like, you can, you know, pass these imaginary lines if someone wants you somewhere and all of that. Like, if someone wants you working here, you have every right to get there. I agree. However, I think that is a crown jewel that we can only achieve after we get rid of a whole lot of parts of state. Now, some people believe that you should focus on that immediately. And there's an argument there. Now, and some people are like, no, that's just completely unrealistic. Okay, well, their focus is obviously on something else. So we can argue about which part of liberty to focus on now. And, you know, some people are like, okay, well, now is time to focus on drug deregulation and on legalization of that. And for me, like, I think that it, at this moment in time, the focus has to be on the military-industrial complex is getting us way too close to obliteration through nuclear war.
I think that, and respectfully, you have a point, but I think if human beings around the world could just focus on money for a minute, I think that, first of all, a lot more people are going to be willing to talk about that sort of openly and frankly because there's no fear, right? You're not afraid of money being dropped on you.
Right.
You're afraid of a big nuke, right?
Yeah.
So I think if people can focus on money, and this is just my opinion, of course, I think that, for me, is the hot topic because money should not be controlled by governments. And as soon as it's not, you get your freedom back.
Yeah, and for me, that is the number two, because the way I see it, because we have this new monetary technology that is just so ridiculously superior to everything that exists in the world, I think that if you just...
about cryptocurrency.
Yes, I'm talking about cryptocurrency. I think that if you just give humanity a little bit of time, we are going to move our entire system over to this superior technology.
Yeah, it's like...
But it can't happen if you blow up half the world with your nukes.
Mm-hmm. I equate... the cryptocurrency, people who are into it and like developing it, and then there's a whole bunch of like users who are surrounded by it, and a lot of them have to be like freedom types, libertarians, anarchists, that kind of thing. I think that it's great, but I was having this analogy the other day, and what it reminds me of is before everybody moved from MySpace to Facebook, right? Like MySpace was the king. Right, it was the thing that you had, and then there's this little thing over here. It was like sort of a new classmates website, and there was only a few people who sort of trickled into it, and they discovered and you know helped build it into something that became a thing that everybody just en masse moved to. Right, I feel like that can happen with cryptocurrency.
Right,
there's been you know it's been a decade of all this development. Right, you know it's unhackable, it's secure, it's fast. You know, all of the things, not to mention all the things that it can do that we haven't even touched on, right? It's, you know, the tip of the iceberg as far as benefits to humanity have been exposed. And so I think that there's going to come a time when everybody just goes, yeah, okay, let's move over here.
Yeah,
and hopefully it'll be en masse, like the mass migration from MySpace to Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, we are in the 1991 of the internet. Like, we have this level of protocol figured out. Now, there's going to be an integration of that protocol into a higher level of protocol before we even think about making it something that is easy for the ordinary user to access.
Yeah.
But that is being built as we speak.
Yeah.
And once that gets built on it, okay, well, then suddenly we're at the 1999 of the internet. Oh, and then suddenly we're at the 2001 of the internet.
Right.
And it revolutionizes absolutely everything in human events. And if we were not on the edge of nuclear annihilation, I would be right there with you that we need to focus on money, because once we fix the money, then we can get rid of the military-industrial complex in the first place. But as long as we're on this edge where these psychopaths are threatening all of human existence, I think that that has to take priority.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I think if you want to support a candidate, even though you only agree with them on one or two issues in a primary for the Democratic side or for the Republican side, I mean, arguably, probably, of all the Republicans, probably Donald Trump is the most peace-oriented candidate. And the difference is he actually did hold office. So with him, it's the devil you know, because you know what you got 4 years ago versus DeSantis, who is a, you know, from all evidence, a psychopathic police state neocon who actually apparently ordered people to be force-fed at Guantanamo Bay and then stood and watched and laughed as people had tubes shoved down their throats and food forced into their bodies. I mean, so I mean, then you get this Vivek guy that wants to actually go and drop bombs in Mexico and literally go to a hot war with the Mexican drug cartels. I mean, the Republicans by no means are done with warmongering. It's just they're moving the theater of war from Afghanistan and Ukraine or whatever to Mexico, which is like, you know, just a different version of insane.
Well, here's the thing. Government is not a whole bunch of things. It's not a charity. It's not a human rights organization. It's not all the fun things that people think it is. It is, in fact, a war machine.
Mm-hmm.
It is a war machine. And now, just because somebody says some really nice things doesn't mean when they get control of the war machine that they're going to be more peaceful. In fact, I would argue the opposite of that. Some of the most well-spoken and most peaceful-sounding candidates that ever ran for president got into the chair and dropped the most bombs and killed the most people.
Obama, didn't he promise to close Guantanamo Bay?
Wasn't that one of the reasons you can keep your regular provider?
Which is why
Bush said no new taxes. Bush won, that is.
Right, which is why it's hard to take any of these people seriously when they say, oh, yeah, I'm anti-war. Yeah. I want to shut down
RFK
the military.
This RFK guy, I don't know anything about him, and I don't care to know anything about him. I know what I need to know. He wants control of the war machine, so screw him.
Now, and to his credit, he does. I mean, it's not just Pecos Mountaineer who's saying this. I did go to his website. He's got a whole article there about, withdrawing from military bases.
Obama was really well-spoken and well-written, too.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm saying people shouldn't just fall under these people's spell. You should be critical of these guys. And I think it's disappointing, and I've said this online, but it hasn't gotten much discussion, I don't think, on the show, that the preeminent liberty event of the year, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, is going to be featuring these lying politicians on their main stage. I think it's a real unfortunate decision.
If we were all there, like, chucking tomatoes, tarring and feathering, that might be enjoyable.
Yeah, then they just make a big mess. And they just don't belong there. I get why they want to do it. They want to pander, right? Like, the politicians certainly want to pander. And the libertarians who are organizing these speeches, they want to curry favor with these people. And I just don't understand why they think that's going to help them. In the same way that there was, like, 50 state reps here in New Hampshire who endorsed DeSantis this week, including like a dozen free staters who should know better than to get behind a snake like that good names behind somebody who is pure evil like this guy. And it's so disappointing to see people playing the political game and losing their principles and their soul, to these people.
Live free, don't join.
Let's get back into the independence movement here, Captain. I was asking you earlier if your story from the Idaho Statesman
doesn't
have any comments.
Mention anything from they didn't like interview anybody specifically.
Well, I got one here from the AFP that was reporting a little earlier this week on the secession movement there in Oregon. Again, for those just tuning in, we're talking about what's called Greater Idaho. The idea being that
Why didn't they call it Greatest Idaho?
Maybe that's coming later. You can't skip over greater before
we
you
might have
greatest.
An even greater Idaho.
So, according to the story here at Yahoo News and the AFP, they interviewed a 64-year-old retiree, Debbie Price. And she is from Eastern Oregon. She is part of the local movement that wants to redraw the region's map so they can secede to join the more conservative neighboring state of Idaho. She said, "There's a lot more freedom in Idaho than there is here," said the legal assistant who traveled across the state border to remarry during the pandemic at a time when weddings were banned in Oregon. Among her list of grievances with Oregon are impending restrictions on carrying firearms, its decriminalization of the use of drugs. I thought she wanted more freedom. Well, anyway, its pro-choice stance on abortion and its support for LGBTQ rights. So once again, these are right-wingers. These are Republican types who they have a certain vision of what freedom means. And certainly I agree with them on guns, right? Like, you absolutely should have a right to defend yourself. But if you believe in the freedom to possess the thing known as a gun, why don't you also believe in the freedom to possess a thing known as a drug? I mean, this seems like a basic concept that just completely goes over the head of these Republican types.
We can't let them have drugs.
Price blames all these on the woke agenda, as she says, radiating out from Portland, the progressive metropolis in the northwestern state's coast. She said, "Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I want things to stay like they are," she said, who is a devout Christian and touted Idaho's ban on abortion. She says, "I'm not anxious to move forward and try and be what the world is going towards these days." So that's a little bit of an opinion here. Those are the people we're talking about. Those are the people that live on the eastern side of Oregon. And there's a strong argument that they just don't belong in the progressive-styled Oregon, right? Like, if you go to the Greater Idaho website, they explain that The reason why the people on the left would support Greater Idaho is because why wouldn't the people on the left want to get these people out of their hair?
Right.
So, like, as far as when you want to redraw state boundaries, you got to get both sides to agree, right? So Oregon state government has to agree. Idaho state government has to agree. But everybody wins from this particular proposal.
Yeah, absolutely. All of the state changes that you would like to make as a lefty, they will no longer slow you down at all.
You go full speed ahead into socialism.
Exactly, right? You can go hard progressive and be effective at it, and you won't have all these fuddy-duddies on the other side of the mountain.
And then eventually, when the fuddy-duddies on the other side of the mountain remain alive because everybody on the left side of the mountain dies of communism, then they can just take back over the left side.
Signs demanding to, quote, move Oregon's border sit alongside Trump 2024 placards in the vast rolling plains of the small corner of America, which has less than one person per square mile.
Yeah. And I get your frustration with having something like making drugs illegal put under the banner of liberty, of freedom. That's nonsense. Or to have these candidates called libertarians when they're not.
Which is why it's frustrating to see libertarians currying favor with the right. I mean, during the whole COVID thing, there was a lot of working together with some of the people on the right who were correct on the issue of, you know, civil disobedience against mandates and things like that. They're absolutely right about that. But those of us who understand the people on the right, we know that they're still not truly our allies. Right. They're not actually people who believe in freedom. They just want freedom for themselves to live how they want to live. If you're trans, they don't give a damn about
you. That's all politics is, whether you're on the left or on the right. It's just your desire to control other people, which you have no right to. And this is why politics is horrible. This is why it's insane. This is why it's filled with violence. And this is why it's filled with liars and cheaters and thieves. And all the bad things you can think that people ever do become institutionalized in this organization of violence and coercion.
And people need to realize that there's a difference between being libertarian and having a libertarian stance. So if you are a libertarian, then you want people to be allowed to determine how they defend themselves and what substances to put in their body and not murder people around the world. Yep. So you can ally yourself with one side for this issue and one side for that issue. You can find no allies when it comes to war.
Mm-hmm.
But realize that the left is not libertarian. They just have a libertarian stance. The right is not libertarian. They have a libertarian stance on the gun issue. And no one is libertarian when it comes to not wasting your money to murder people who do not need to be murdered.
Which is the majority of what the state does.
Yeah.
Some complain they can't kill wolves threatening their livestock as easily as their neighboring ranchers in Idaho because of gun restrictions. Others blame.
No, that one's a different one. In Idaho, they did a major push to make it completely legal to kill wolves.
Like any old time, basically?
Yeah.
Others blame the decline of the vital local timber industry and the state's strict logging limits, which have forced many mills to close. Many are afraid Oregon could follow California in phasing out diesel and even gasoline-powered cars in favor of electric vehicles. 41-year-old logger Garrett Mahan said, "The diesel ban's a horrible idea, and I think it would destroy our economy." On a remote piece of land that has belonged to his family for a century, he stacks giant tree trunks with an industrial machine that, quote, you would never be able to run on a battery, he says. And he's right. They did that in California. They actually passed a law, I think it was this last year, that after a certain date, I don't know if it's 2026 or whenever it is, you will no longer be able to purchase brand new gasoline-powered devices like, you know, a leaf blower or a generator or a lawnmower. It's all going to be electric mandated.
We've been talking about migrations, and one migration that I hear about frequently, or at least did, was the migration of Californians to places like Texas, for example. One of the least talked about migrations is the mass exodus of Californians all the way up the West Coast, right? Northern California, Oregon, Western Oregon, and Western Washington. In the 22 years that I lived in the Seattle area, I saw the Seattle area go from more of a melting pot into more of a leftist hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, one of the things I loved about the we'll call it the mid-90s Seattle, was that it was very diverse. There were not sections there wasn't segregation like there is in, like, Chicago and New York and that kind of thing. You didn't go to, there wasn't, like, a, quote, bad side of town, unquote. That was just called Tacoma. It's the town to the south of them. But, like, it was far more of a melting pot. But over the course of time, it became more and more lefty. That's the only word I can use to describe it, really. More and more communist. And it was disheartening for me to see. And, like, the more that went on, the more of, like a sore thumb I sort of, you know, kind of stand out. I look like this. So, you know, I'm a recognizable dude. But, like, more and more, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm surrounded by fascists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, honestly, what this looks like is cancer. So in cancer, you develop a tumor, and that tumor develops its own little ecosystem, and then it reaches a certain point where it's called metastasis,
yep.
where it spreads itself into all of these other parts of the body. And that's exactly what happened with California. So you had this communist regime.
Cancerfornia?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, you had this communist regime create an unlivable scenario for human life, and now all of these people have to flee California. The fact is, though, you can take the Californian out of California, you cannot take the communism out of the Californian. So they are taking these wretched policies, and Colorado is one of the states that they have absolutely ruined because of this. And, I mean, they are still fighting somewhat because it's mostly, like, the cities of you know, Denver especially, Boulder, like, the Fort Collins, like, the cities are definitely where the strongholds of this are. But they've basically taken over the state where I was born, and I had to leave. Mm-hmm. I'm just really glad that there was a place here that is not Texas, it's not Florida, it's not Idaho, it's not a Republican conservative place, it's not a communist lefty Oregon kind of place. No, it's libertarian.
I'm glad that the people are here, right? These people that are here, the people who have migrated here for freedom, they're why I'm here. I'm not here because New Hampshire, the plot of land, is so awesome.
Right.
I'm here because of the people.
For sure. And that's why we need more of those people here. We need thousands more. This movement, this migration of libertarians, voluntarists, liberty-loving anarchists, has been going on for about 2 decades now.
Yep.
And it has had more success, both politically and outside of the system and community, than any other libertarian project on the planet in the history of the liberty movement. It can only get better the more people we get here. If you want to comment on Greater Idaho or whatever's on your mind, you can join us. Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.